Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the way you demonstrated your love towards us in giving us your Son. We sure don't deserve it. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts now and give us great understanding of a verse that we all know. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3:16, a verse that you can all quote, I'm sure, for God so loved the world. Come on. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For those of us that have known the Lord for a number of years, that verse is so familiar. You see it at the football games, the goalpost, people holding up John 3:16. It's a tremendous verse. Actually, it's to me, it's the central verse of the Bible. All of the Old Testament teachings point towards John 3:16. All of our doctrines that we have come from John 3:16. That's kind of the focal point of the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Martin Luther said, the sense in which the whole story of the Bible is told out is in John 3:16. If you really want to understand the basic message of the Bible and what God is trying to say to us, learn John 3:16. Quote John 3:16. Get that into your life, because that is what God is trying to communicate to us, that he loved us and he gave his Son for us. Now, I'd like to focus this morning on just two parts of this verse. The fact that God gave his Son. And then I'd like to also focus that when we take his Son, we have everlasting life. What really is that? We're going to talk about that this morning. Did it hurt God to give his Son? What do you think? Of course it hurt. To give his Son, the perfect, pure Savior without sin, and he had to die for the likes of us in this world. Think about it. Of course it hurt. God gave to us. He didn't have to. He was not compelled to. He was not tricked into it. But God gave us his Son because he loves us. And he wants us to have fellowship with him. And the only way he could do that was to give us his Son. So let's just look for a few moments this morning. What did God's giving mean? When he gave Christ, what did it mean? First of all, it means that God's giving meant suffering. There was suffering that was going to happen. Jesus Christ suffered. I want you to think of it in terms of Jesus Christ took on the form of a man, and he came down here to this world, and he lived in the world that you and I live in now. And although things are broadcast much more now and whatever, people's hearts are always the same. Today, yesterday, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and all that was there. He left them to come down to this earth. When he was here and he was alive, Herod sought his life, wanted to take his life from us, from him. The Bible says, Jesus says, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The creator of the universe, my creator, your creator, he hungered. He fasted. He was tempted. He thirsted. Met the woman at the well. Got some water from the well there. He was slandered. He was mocked. He was made fun of. He was misunderstood. This is God. He left the glories of heaven for this? You have to think about that. It's not just a verse. There's a lot of things that go with this. Christ was in the world. John says he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, from a human standpoint, what would you think? I mean, I can tell you what I would think. I left heaven for this. You know, I mean, this is, you just kind of put it that way. Imagine the magnitude of love that the Father had, that he gave his Son to us. And he came down to a world like this. And he did that for you and for me. As I've said before, we're nice people here. But he still had to come and die for us because we're not that good. And there's a lot of bad people in the world. Bad as we would define it, Christ died for them as well. Christ suffered in his life. He suffered in his death. When he was in the garden, he agonized. He drew tears of blood. Father, if it be possible, let this thing go away. But nevertheless, not what I want, what you want. Because he knew what he was going to face. And he was willing to do it so that you and I could have eternal life in him. Doesn't get any better than that. He went through a trial, if you would call it that, a mock trial. He was guilty before they brought him into the courtroom in the eyes of the world, and they knew what they were going to do. And in his judgment, when he hung upon the cross and he was beaten, he bore all of our sins. He was rejected by the Father. The Father couldn't have anything to do with him because he was the epitome, the embodiment of sin of the whole world, was in this one person at this time upon the cross. You ever done anything? You knew it was wrong. You're ashamed to admit it, but you just know it's bad, and it weighs upon your heart, and it's just kind of there. Imagine Jesus bearing all that guilt for all of humanity, not just yours and my guilt, but the guilt of everyone who has ever lived and everyone who will live. Jesus bore that guilt upon himself. None of us, even as we, many of us have been believers for many years, we can never grasp the enormity of what that love means and what the Father did. I mean, how can we? It was horrible. So Christ, God's giving meant that he suffered. And the Father suffered as well because he had to look upon his Son upon the cross and see that his Son, his perfect Son, had become sin for us. And it had to bother him as well. He sent his Son because he loved the world. The world rejected his Son and put him through all this. Why? Because he knew that the only way we could ever get to be with him was through this. God's giving meant substitution. God is not at all God if he is not just. Our God is perfectly just. Because he is just, sin had to be judged. Nobody's going to, the Father once say, well, he didn't do so bad. We'll just kind of let that one slide. That's the way the world thinks. You know, God is, if they believe in God, they think he's just a nice old guy and, he, you know, things are going to happen. He'll just let us. It's not that way at all. All sin had to be judged. It's that serious. It had to be judged, and God was the only one that could affect a judgment in such a way that you and I could have life through his Son. Jesus had to die. God's mercy, which we can't understand, extended to the sinner, to you and I. It extended there. And so we, because of God's mercy, can receive something that we don't deserve. That's a gift. And that's the gift of grace. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us anyway. God's mercy, he does not give us what we really deserve. We really deserve to be separated from God for eternity. But God didn't create us for that. God created us to have fellowship with him. And so after the sin in the garden, there had to be a way to get man back. And that way back is through Jesus Christ. God delivered Christ up into the hands of murderers, basically. God delivered his Son into the hands of justice to die, physically die, that justice might be served. You and I today, we live in a world when you see things going on in the world, and it looks like people are getting away with things. We look at the court system, and we see how sometimes people seem to get away with it, and it kind of angers us because of how can they get away with it and this and that. keep in mind, no one gets away with anything. One day, what you think you got away with here, you're going to stand before Almighty God and find out you got away with nothing. And that's why God gave Jesus Christ, sent him down to earth to die for us, because we cannot do anything of ourselves to earn ourselves presence in the sight of God. Difference between a murderer and Christ. Christ hung on the cross between two murderers. A murderer dies for his own sins. You kill somebody, you get caught. In theory, you're supposed to pay the price for that. Jesus Christ, when he died, he didn't die as a murderer, but he died as one who took our sins upon him. And God judged him for that. God's love that he shows to us is always supernatural. It's not made up. It's not, he doesn't have to think hard about it. God just loves us that much that he would give his son to die for you and me. God's giving to us, besides the suffering that Christ went through and the Father, the fact that God gave Christ as our substitute, God's giving meant salvation. God gave Christ so that we might be spared from eternal hell. You know, some people talk about a hell on earth existence. And if you look and you see in the world today in the news and you see how some people live in other parts of the world, those of you who have been to third world countries and you see some of the conditions under which people live, they don't know any better. This is the way they live. We might say, well, that's a hell on earth existence. Yeah, it's bad. It's certainly different than what we have. We are truly blessed. But let me tell you, what they are experiencing here, what we would think a hell on earth existence here, has nothing to do with what eternal hell is going to be. It is going to be eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. It never ends. It just goes on and on and on. What that's going to be, I can only imagine, and probably not even that. It is going to be absolutely horrible. God could not save us and save his son. God could only save us through his son. God spared not his son that we might have life. What are you willing to do for someone else? How much are you willing to go to help someone else? As far as give your life for death of someone else, some people may do that. I can't say it's not done. But most people would not do that because our lives are precious to us. Well, our lives were precious to God, and the only way we could go see him was because Christ died. And we have fellowship with him, a relationship with him. I heard the story of a young boy whose parents were killed in a car accident. And the only place he could go, he had to go live with his older sister. And she wasn't too happy about the arrangement, the inconvenience and all that. Now she has to raise her little brother and everything. And he knew how she felt. And so he took time to make this nice little gift for her. I'm not even sure what it was, but he spent time on it. And he gave it to her lovingly as a gift to maybe help make things better. She looked at it, sneered, threw it on the floor, and stepped on it. Can you imagine how that little boy felt? How broken his heart was because of something like that. Well, let's just take that just one step further and imagine how God the Father feels when we reject that gift that he so lovingly gave to us. Imagine how he feels. It's there for us. All you have to do is take it. And many people will just push it aside because, oh, I don't have time for this. And they go out living life thinking everything is good and everything, you know. Life is nothing without God. When Sylvia passed this week, there was such a peace in her heart about going. Talked to her Thursday night. She knew what was coming. She knew where she was going, and she was perfectly at peace with that. And I'm telling you, that only happens when you are at peace with the Father. And that peace only comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. God's giving with Calvary at heart was not a trickle. God's love in giving Jesus Christ to us was not just a little bit of love. It was all the love that He could have. We don't even know how much that is. We can't calculate that. But He gave everything that He had when He gave His Son. Jesus gave everything that He had when He gave His life. And that was simply, very simply, for you and for me, that we might have life. What was the purpose of God's gift? The purpose of God's gift is everlasting life to those who accept it. This is what breaks the Father's heart. The gift is there, but people won't take it. You know, if someone said to me, "You won a 2021 Corvette." Yes. But if I never went and picked it up and put the keys in it and drove it away, what good would it do me? Oh, I would take the keys and go. But if you didn't take it, what good is it? That's the same way with the gift of salvation. It's there for everyone. You know, you can take it. You may have been coming here for years and you've heard about this. But have you really taken that gift? There's one thing to know about it, and there's one thing to actually take it and bring it into your life and accept that gift and become a child of God. There is a big difference. Everlasting life is not necessarily eternal existence. Satan, the demons, the unsaved, they have eternal existence, but they don't have everlasting life. Everlasting life, as we understand it, in John 3:16, comes from God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everlasting life is not natural life. Your parents gave you that. But even if your parents were the most godly people in the world, they could not pass that on to you. You have to trust in Christ for yourself. You can't ride your parents' coattails. No one could. Because we're all sinners, and those who have trusted Christ are sinners who are saved by grace. And that makes a big difference. Eternal life is not heaven. You ever think about heaven? I mean, I wonder what it's like. I mean, I don't know, the Bible gives us indications. And I have to be very honest. I wonder, what in the world are we going to do for eternity? It never ends. Won't we get bored? I mean, I don't think we will. But these are the things that go through my mind. You know, what are we going to do for all that time? God has a plan for us. God has work for us to do. We have responsibilities. But it's forever and ever and ever. But that's something to look forward to, because we'll be in the presence of God. You know, that's not something that's going to be a drudge. I mean, we are serving the living God. But eternal life is not heaven. As wonderful as heaven is, let us never confuse the place of heaven with the person of Jesus Christ. Because eternal life, everlasting life, is in God. Yeah, we'll spend it in heaven, but that's not what it's all about. Eternal life, everlasting life, is to be in the presence of God. So let's just talk a little bit what really eternal life is. John chapter 17, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 17 and verse 3. This is actually really the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. He's praying for His disciples. Verse 3, Jesus says this: "This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life, everlasting life, is knowing God. We can only know Him if we have a relationship with Him through Jesus. Jeremiah said it back in chapter 9 of Jeremiah, verses 23 and 24. "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not a mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches, But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. That is eternal life, knowing God and getting to know him better and better. Have you ever had a close friend, someone that you really knew and they really knew you, or they thought they knew you, you thought you knew them, and then something happens and you find out something about that person that was never on the radar? It was just, well, when we know God in eternal life, we are going to know him better and better and better for all of eternity. It is going to be a magnificent thing. Will we be in the presence of God? Yes. Will we be sitting at the throne? Yes, but not always, I don't believe. There'll be so many of us that he has responsibilities for us to do. We'll be doing things. But the fact is, we will have our life in him. And that is where our joy is going to come from, because our relationship is with God. Yeah, it's going to be great to see loved ones and all that's going to be fun. But the best thing about heaven is our Savior is there. We are going to be there with him. What is life? Well, I can tell you from my standpoint here, I have a pulse. I can give it, you know, this thing will tell me, you know, what my heart rate is and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is life for us. But life is much more than that to God. Jesus made it very clear. The Bible does. First John chapter 5, verse 20, John writes and says, "We know that the Son of God has come," that's Jesus, "and has given us understanding, in order that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Jesus Christ, God, eternal life. Jesus, when he was here in John 14, says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You know, in the world and the political climate in which we are living today, when we say that verse and talk about our Savior in that way, those who do not know the Savior accuse us of being elitists, of not understanding. How could God be so loving and there's only one way? There has to be other ways to heaven. No, there isn't. There's only one. And we can stand on that. The Bible is true. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And if anyone is saying there's any other way to heaven, they are wrong. They are lying. Do not listen to them. Jesus is the only way to life. The Bible says in John chapter 3, "He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life." Very simple. You have Jesus, you have eternal life. You don't have Jesus, you do not have eternal life. It's very clear. There's not a lot of guesswork involved here. Right in front of you. You have the Son, you have life. You have not the Son, you have not life. It does not get any clearer than that. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've made that commitment, you've confessed your sins, and you've put yourself in him, you have life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. If you know about Jesus and know all about what the Bible says about him, but have never placed your faith and truly trusted in him, you do not have eternal life. The Bible makes it very clear. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. The eternal life of John 3:16 is now. It's not future. The eternal life The eternal life is tied up in present experiences. We are involved from the moment that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your everlasting life began. It's not just the moment of death when you pass from this life, God willing, hopefully into the presence of Jesus because of your relationship with him, but the moment you have trusted Christ as your Savior. When I was 5 years old and I trusted in Jesus, I went from eternal existence to everlasting life. There's a difference. You want to have that everlasting life. You want to be sure of that. When you have that everlasting life, Jesus Christ makes his eternal presence known in your life. When you're doing what God wants you to do, there is such a calm and a peace about it that even though the anything can go on around us and it seems in turmoil, you can be at peace with yourself because you are doing what God wants you to do. Right now, I am at peace with myself because this is what God called me to do years ago. Many times I have fought it, but I know that when I'm standing here and doing this, this is what God wants me to do. Whatever God has for you, be comfortable in it and do it to the best of your ability. Eternal life includes all of eternity, but if you know Christ, you have it now. Eternal life does not begin at death, but it begins with your faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus said, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Notice, this is love. Not that we loved God. Our love can't be that good. But that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the satisfaction for our sins. So when God, through Christ, looked down upon Jesus and Jesus was bearing the sin load of everyone in the world, when we place our faith and our trust in him, that sacrifice satisfies God on our account. And we become a child of God. The Bible says that we are given the mark of the Holy Spirit. It's like a spiritual tattoo. God is saying, he's one of mine. And God knows us. And even though we still do wrong, even though we still sin, we know that we are not lost because we are look as if we have never sinned in the eyes of God because we are his child. If we confess our sins, what does it say? He is faithful and righteous and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we make mistakes and we confess it and life goes on and we're in fellowship and we're going on. But as far as God is concerned, even through the crazy stuff we do, we are still his children because we have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me tell you, the world in which we're living today, I'm so glad I have that confidence in Jesus. I am so glad that I know when I take my last breath here, I'm in the presence of God. That takes away a lot of the anxiety that you would have in this world today if you did not know him. I cannot imagine in this world and seeing all the things that are going on in our country and around the world, I cannot imagine, as bad as it seems to us, how much worse it would be if I didn't have Jesus Christ. Because as we've said many times, we know how it ends. We've read the book. Jesus is coming back. Not only is he coming back, he's going to take us to be with him. And it's going to be forever and ever and ever. God loved you and I and everyone in this world when there was absolutely nothing to love. But he loved us anyway. So before the creation of the foundation of the earth, before all of that, God had a plan in motion for us, that his son Jesus was going to die. And Jesus was willing to come to earth and do it for us. Tozer said this. I close with this. Tozer said, "Infinite God gives all of himself to each of his children." Now think about that. His children, those who are part of his family. "He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, of him, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others. So in other words, in God's mind, he gives all of himself to you, and he gives all of himself to you, and all of himself to me at the same time. You say, how can that be done? He's God. It's like he can be here in our presence, and he can be hearing our prayers, and he can be hearing the prayers of our brothers and sisters over in Belarus and all those other places at the same time. And he is just as much with them there as he is with us here, because he is God. Don't you want to be a part of that family? That's the family you want to be a part of, because God cares for us. God loves us. God gave his son for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, he will still live. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a very simple verse. Sometimes we make these things so complicated. Lord, I pray that you would just help us. I pray for anyone here that knows about Jesus Christ but has never truly trusted in him. I pray this would be a day of salvation for them. I do ask and pray that you would help us as ones who have known you for a long time, many of us, and have been a part of your family. Help these verses, this verse, never to go stale. Help us to realize that this is what the Bible is all about. You loved us and you gave your son for us. So I pray that you would just be with us now and strengthen our faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.